nearly the whole town was shouting. And where Gumper sat in the castle, muddling and messing about with accounts and forms and rules and regulations, he heard the noise. At the castle gate, Caspian's trumpeter blew a blast and cried, "Open for the King of Narnia! Come to visit his trusty and well-beloved servant, the Governor of the Lone Islands."
This is kind of an exciting episode because it's the last book we're going to cover or discuss that has been adapted for film. So after this, we can start getting into things that we haven't talked a lot about. And you may think, okay, you know, if you think, oh, it's they've talked about these books to death, there's nothing more to talk about.
Right.
Absolutely not true.
Well,
every
Chronicles
time I,
of Narnia, come on. Tell us for Narnia Webbers.
Exactly. Every time I go back to these books, yeah, there might be a little bit of redundancy in things we talked about on the podcast before, but there's so many layers to these books. There's so many different parts to it that every time I go back, I find more. So don't think that we've discussed Voyage of the Dawn Treader to death.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that, I don't know, but the thing is, to a certain extent, you can only get, some of the books just capture more involvement than others.
Than doing
podcasts, and that's where, yeah, I just have to admit, you know, this one is a little harder for me to sometimes. I just think, okay, you know, yeah, we could talk Voyage of the Dawn Treader to death, but at the same time, I don't get as much enjoyment off of this book for reasons we've previously discussed and reasons we'll discuss in this episode. You know, for instance, you know, Silverchair or Prince Caspian, especially.
Right.
Just get a lot of enjoyment out of just talking about issues.
Well, I mean, I just think that Dawn Treader probably rewards rereading the least. There's just not as much going on with characters or plot, or it's by far just the most straightforward, simple book. Like, Lewis didn't put nearly as much thought into it. I think he wrote Wardrobe and Caspian and was really in a hurry to get to Silver Chair, so he just kind of spat out Dawn Treader pretty fast. That being said, it is actually the longest Narnia book.
Well, so I think but that's a part of a testament to Lewis's sloppy writing in some parts of this book. Because,
right.
I mean, think about it. You have a story where, you know, what happens, really, from the beginning to the end. You have a lot of mini-sodes, you know, throughout, but...
Yeah, it almost makes you wonder if Lewis had a bunch of leftover ideas for plots. Like, oh, let's, what a book where they free slaves from an island, or a book about, you know, a water that turns things into gold, and he just kind of said, well, I'll put them in, because we know that Dawn Treader, he really thought Dawn Treader was going to be the last book, so I just think he could put all his leftover ideas in there.
It's less concise, you know, and there's a lot of circular stuff. I mean,
for the record, I think they're pretty good leftover ideas. I'm glad we have them, but that's kind of all it is, though.
Yeah, well, and you know, like an example is Eustace. You know, I mean, okay, so. You have Eustace.
Clarence Scrub almost deserved that name.
He
was a boy named called Eustace Clarence Scrub, and he almost deserved it. To one of the more interesting openings to
one of the books. You know, first of all, okay, we don't even know anything about him, really. He just opens up with that line, like, here, out of nowhere, hello.
It'd be nicer if he was a little more developed when they introduced him. So they just kind of say, well, that's it. You're the boy Eustace Clarence Scrub. I'm like, well, why should I care? I don't know anything about this character.
It'd be nicer if he was more developed when he ended the book. I mean, think about it. You have Eustace, who is, you know, he's this kid, this British kid, you know, just, you know, doing his thing, you know, this, and, you know, he has this really interesting transformation into a dragon. Probably, you know, the part of the book, the one part that kind of, ooh, this is kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Awaken my interest, and then...
A kid turning into an animal.
You know, before they leave the same island,
that?
You know, he's a boy again. And I'm thinking, okay, so we just did all that for nothing, right? Okay, so, I mean, yeah, he's a little bit nicer, but other than that, I mean... There's really nothing there. You kind of have this little, it's not even a 180, it's a 360 circle of, he's a boy and he's a dragon and he's a boy again, whoop-de-doo, on to the next mission, you know?
Right. Yeah, there's not really much interesting development going on there. I mean, you can see there's sort of an attempt at it, but...
It's just lackluster.
I certainly agree about the beginning. I think Lewis could have done a little more. You know, I kind of disagree with you. I still think it's kind of a fairly enjoyable book, even if it's not as... developed as the other ones. He's giving us all these weird random details about him, though, like who his parents were and being up to date and modern and things where it's like, look, just tell me what superpowers he has, you know? I mean, obviously I'm kind of joking there, but it's like, come on, give me the real meat of the character.
I don't know. To a certain extent, like, I actually, you know, for instance, The Silver Chair was so much more enjoyable, and Lewis does a fairly good job making each book somewhat self-contained. You can... obviously, it's not ideal to start with the Silver Chariot. It's ideal to start with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I've actually suggested to people from time to time, you know what, for the Chronicles of Narnia, read Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, then Prince Caspian, skip Voyage of the Dawn Treader, go to Silver Chair, and then just, you know, after you've finished the six really good books, you know, you've gained enough of an interest that Voyage of the Dawn Treader won't lose you.
It's almost kind of the, you know, the order debate, like, which we won't get into right here.
Right.
And yeah, I tend to suggest publication order, because, you know, publication and chronological are kind of the two recognized orders. But, and I think out of those two, you go with publication. It is kind of more official. It's the order they were published in. But actually, what's the one that I think gives you the most enjoyable experience? I think read the other six books. And if you want to read Dawn Treader and you're that much of a fan, go ahead and do it. But I can see where you're coming from.
I mean, if you're a diehard fan of the Chronicles of Narnia, of course you're going to read the Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I mean, it's just a given.
Right.
But Voyage of the Dawn Treader is the episode one. It's to the Chronicles of Narnia what Star Wars Episode One is to, you know, the Star Wars saga.
Yeah, if you're really that much of a fan, sure, go ahead and check it out.
But you would never recommend someone just on like, oh yeah, I'm going to watch all of them.
It's not that it's bad. Not saying it's bad. It's just that it's the one that you're only going to watch if you're a fan.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, is it a terrible book? No.
Absolutely not.
It's lackluster.
Yeah. What do you think about the way they get into Narnia this time? You know, it's always a pretty different, surprising way they get into it. The way they get into the picture here, and they're just looking at the picture, and it starts coming to life, and they get swept in. Just talk about some of your thoughts the first time reading that.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes it's just kind of hard for me to even. I'm actually doing laundry right now. Sorry, shows you how engaged I am here, but. No, I mean, it's pretty mechanical. It seems mm-hmm. like Lewis just could not figure out how to get them into Narnia. So he just, okay, you know what? I'll just pick a picture, and the picture gets bigger, you know? And, okay, so they have a picture of a Narnian ship.
I can think of so many books that have done that, where they get into through a picture on the wall. And I mean, you almost mean like with Silver Chair, when the door is open, you're so shocked you don't see it coming.
Yeah, it's
here,
like, oh,
I think almost
you know,
from the
mirror,
very beginning,
you know?
Once they enter the room, you're going, oh, that picture's going to come to life, and you kind of see it coming.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have a picture of Dorian Gray. You have it's the picture on the wall is kind of a classic cliche, and I mean, frankly, it's sort of like, oh yeah, and they have this picture of a Narnian ship, and how did it look like a Narnian
gee,
ship?
Gee, I wonder what's
going
to going back to the Phantom Menace kind of analogy when Anakin. First gets into the at the very end of the movie gets in the you know Qui-Gon Jinn tells him Anakin stay in that cockpit you know it's a good hiding spot and you're going gee I wonder what's gonna happen
yeah
it's
yeah.
kind of like that
oh so here's a question what do you think about I mean probably the character in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader who is most in your face more than any other character is the character of Reepicheep.
Yeah, he does kind of stand out. He is the only talking animal on board. And that
right.
actually, if you don't mind, brings us to one of the questions that we've had submitted. And this actually comes from Jim Fan, who has not been on the podcast for a while. And at least he can, you know, kind of be with us in spirit at least. And she basically writes, how do you feel about the character of Reepicheep and how do you feel about what he brings to the story in terms of humor?
He brings humor to the story in that question.
Yeah, I think she was really saying she wished that Reepicheep had been a lot funnier, and we've heard her talk about that on the podcast before. But so yeah, I think that he stands out because he's just so silly. You can't really take him seriously at all. He's just a gag.
How much dignity really? I mean, he has this pretended dignity, but it's all a facade. Obviously, that Lewis. Meant to be some kind of satire.
Not to go back to the Star Wars thing again, but he's kind of the Jar Jar Binks of this book, I think. He really is.
I mean, you have people playing with him. You have people
goofing
off with him.
I mean, he's silly. He's funny. He's racist. He has all the things you want out of a good comedy character like Jar Jar.
Yeah, or a lousy comedy character. But, you know, at least Jar Jar had some slapstick.
I mean, there's not really any depth to him, but with a story like Dawn Treader, where you need something to lighten things up a little bit.
I mean, Reepicheep had the one moment where Eustace swings him by the tail, but even then, it's kind of...
That was a great moment.
Yeah, it's just kind of a moment where... That's one of the one moments where, you know, there's points in a book or a movie where you have this one character, you just think, oh, please, please let something happen to them, and then Eustace grabs Reepicheep by the tail, and every reader is thinking, thank you, C.S.
I know, every fan is going, finally, you know, it's that thing that... We're all hoping what happened finally. Yeah, like we all wish we could do that to that character,
exactly.
Basically.
You know, now, and one of the things that, you know, unfortunately, at first I thought Eustace might kind of fill this role a little bit, because I thought, oh, he's not very nice to his cousins, but then I realized, you know, he's just kind of a pathetic extra added into the story, you know, and you don't really have a villain.
Yeah.
In Voyage of the Dawn Treader. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely one of the things that makes Dawn Treader kind of stand out. It's, I think, I would say, let me think about this for a second, it probably is the only Narnia book that doesn't have a fairly clear-cut villain.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, that makes sense if we kind of go with this theory of this is sort of Lewis's leftover ideas a little bit, that we wouldn't expect a lot of unity.
Right.
We wouldn't expect one thing to kind of tie it together. And so, no, there's no villain here. And I just feel like, like Michael Apted said, you know, all great adventure stories have to have a villain. And this one doesn't have that, and that's so central to its problems. And it's almost like Lewis is expecting us to just sort of get involved in the characters and what their quest is. And I think you just maybe Lewis, and that's ambitious. I admire Lewis for what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately, look, that's interesting. But this is a kid's book. You gotta have a villain.
Yeah, and you know, again, it doesn't really provide a lot of unity to the story. And that's one of the things where, you know, the movie, one of the things I easily enjoyed the most about the movie Voyage of the Dawn Treader was, I thought, oh, at least there's a villain now. There's some kind of purpose to the quest besides some kind of notion of chivalry, you know, like, oh yeah, like people are going to go on a boat ride for chivalry, you know. I mean, it's just a lot to buy.
Right.
And yeah, it's just one of those things where I think that it is almost the miscellaneous book where Lewis had all these different ideas, and he even mentions things like, you know, how the islands were captured and things. It's like, well, there's a little story that he just didn't write, but he mentions here just to throw in with everything else.
It's that's a great example of a little leftover fragment. Why would he just throws it in there and never develops it or anything? And look, if you're gonna, I think in fantasy, like we talked about in the past couple episodes, if it's in there, it should be completely developed. We should know absolutely everything about it.
You should have every detail. I mean, basically, yes. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, every great
saga. Isn't that
saga.
Pretty much how it is in history? You know, every single thing that happened to that person, every single thing about their lives, and there's no mystery at all. I just think that if Lewis wants it to be real, then he should tell us every. But there should be a little.
Like, here's an example. Yeah. You know, if you're comparing book to book, you know, for instance, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, far superior to Voyage of the Dawn Treader as a work of literature. And look at all the details it fills in. I mean, you get basically every little thing. You find out even what the characters, you know, happened when they got older and who married who. You know, you get all of that, which Dawn Treader just doesn't have. And
You do find out who Caspian married. But you're right. In general, you're right.
Yeah, it's really kind of, it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, you look at Voyage of the Dawn Treader, and you look at how it's lacking, you think, you know, look at, I mean, what could it have been a little more like Harry Potter or Star Wars, for instance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You just kind of wonder
that's
that.
One of the things that, I mean, even before I had seen Star Wars, because I read Narnia before I'd seen Star Wars, before I'd read Harry Potter, but still, I mean, I didn't know anything about Star Wars or Harry Potter, but still, my first thought, I'm about a couple chapters into Dawn Treader, I'm thinking, I wish this was more like Star Wars and Harry Potter. I didn't even know where that thought came from. You know, I just knew it in my bones. This needs to be more like Star Wars and Harry Potter.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen the posters, and at least the posters, you know, gave you some kind of a...
Not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it has no character development. It's lackluster. It's boring. There's nothing going on. And it's just generally, I can't recommend reading it. I'm not saying it's bad, though.
Yeah. You know, like, I've read other fantasy, you know, and, you know, you have some... works of like the Warcraft novels, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever read any of those, but like you read the Warcraft novels, you know. Yeah, Dawn Treader is on at least on par, if not superior, to most of those that I've read. You know, so sure, is it better than most fantasy you're going to read? Yeah, only because most fantasy is so lousy. But it's just, you know, we're coming from this great, you know, kind of a high. So such this high point in fantasy literature with the Chronicles of Narnia, and then you just step down to Voyage of the Dawn Treader, which just feels like a lot, you know, doesn't feel like terrible fantasy. It just kind of feels like a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I really
it's
admire.
It's like, oh yeah, Jason and the Argonauts and Odysseus. Thank you, yeah, C.S. Lewis.
I really admire what the film, what I think the film was trying to do, just make it more like something we're familiar with. Like, who wants something new? Who wants something different? Mm-hmm. I think so. I really admire what they were trying to do, especially.
I mean, why else would we have 4 Die Hard sequels?
I know.
I mean, people like familiar. They do.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that Don Treader is just so different from the others. I just wish that it was a little more uniform, like Michael Apted pointed out. So I do appreciate what they're trying to do in the film. I like the fact that they add a villain. I thought the Green Mist is really effective. You can really see where the book could have benefited quite a...
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this anymore.
I'm
so
done.
Painful.
I'm
okay.
Done. Once
okay.
I said, at least with the Star Wars, you see the posters, and I just had to bite my tongue. Yeah, I'm done. I can't think. Because I thought, okay, I'll say something about the villain, Reepy Cheep, and I'll make comparison to Harry Potter and Star Wars, and that's it. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, okay. So, that was fun while it lasted. But for those of you, just for the record, April Fools.
April Fools. Oh, this was fun, Glenn Fettle.
Okay.
What a terrible idea this was.
Yeah, we'll be doing the real one pretty soon here. A lot of you have sent in questions and really great questions.
We've gotten questions from you guys asking some really good questions actually.
Yeah, probably more questions that we can have on the podcast. So we'll be recording it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, here's a fake one.
All right, enjoy everyone, or don't.
All right.
Happy April Fool's Day.